This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Fearscape Media Network is your new home for everything weird and enlightening. Check out podcasts and YouTube shows covering content from discussions on horror films to the paranormal to meditation. Find out more at fearscapemedia.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We are on a journey to understand and to discover the phenomena that seems to exist all around the globe. We invite you to join us on this journey into the unknown.
Gentlemen, to a bonus episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. Tonight, I am your only host again, Mr. Stefan Gearhart, as we're just throwing together a little something special as we promised for the month of December. Even though we're taking off the month for regular episodes, we had a few things in the bag that we wanted to share with you. This is one of those things. A few weeks ago, I got approached at the place that I work. Word got out, of course, as it does, that I host a paranormal podcast. And I was approached by a woman at my work that said she had an incredible story that she would like to share with me one day if I didn't mind meeting at lunch. And so I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. We've got plenty of time. We can meet at lunch. And she allowed me to record her story here. It's quite a fascinating tale, I gotta tell you what. I was pretty blown away by a lot of this, as well as the conversation that her and I had afterwards. And, you know, and here again is someone who feels pretty alone in this. And as we know, our listeners know, a lot of you out there have had similar experiences, of course similar but different, or some of you maybe have had the same experience. I'd sure like to know, and I know Carla would love to have some, you know, some other folks share in their story, especially if it's similarly identical to hers. Anyways, get your ears together and get ready to listen to Carla Robinson's encounter from the Fearscape.
I want questions, because if I just explain it, it just sounds pretty. So I'm going to kind of start the night before. The night before, I'm pretty young at this time, so this happened about almost 30 years ago. So my oldest son, I left him at my sister's house, lives a couple blocks from me, because I had friends coming over. And they're guy friends, and they make incense and stuff like that. I didn't want my son to be up, because I knew we were going to be in the living room. That's where he slept. You stay here. Yeah. We're going to do this. So I'm friends with the brother. Come to find out, we're dating. I didn't know we were. Come to find out, we're dating. And because, you know, he's Muslim. Mm-hmm. So they're different than we are. I didn't know we were dating. And he didn't tell me, but I kind of could have got a clue, because every time he came over, he would, like, bring his brothers. When they're dating you, they can't see you alone. They need to be with you. Right. So I didn't put two together. I'm a kid, you know? Yeah. I'm 20-something. Yeah. So this one particular night, his brothers left. He sent his brothers out to start, because they sell incense and all that stuff. He sent them out first, and he's coming. So about 3 minutes later, he's going to go. So he comes to me and he hands me a piece of paper and he runs to the door. I look at it, I look up, he's gone. I'm like, what is this? I said, okay. So I go look and I read it. It's a marriage proposal.
It's like the playground all over again. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yeah, so I was like, so I said, well, he's probably serious. I'm gonna take it. See, I don't want to just. So I read and I thought about it. So he had given me a couple days before, he gave me a Quran to read. I already had my own Bible, and he bought this huge book called Religions of the World. And so I was reading it, because, you know, I already read my Bible, I already read the Quran, mm-hmm. as much as I wanted to read it, because I'm like, this sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. So I put it on, I already got my Bible, I don't need two Bibles.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm reading, I'm studying, right? So I'm at this time, I'm kind of poor. I'm a young single parent. I don't have a real desk. I'm kind of like sitting on something. I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But before I moved, so I'm sitting there. It's like 5:30, 6 a.m. It's in California. It's still dark outside. I'm an early riser. I get to work at 4 o'clock. Crazy. Here. Mm. Anyway. Whew, I know. We start at 5, but I get here at 4. Anxiety. It's a long story.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm early rise, so I'm up, I'm studying, my son's gone, I'm like, yeah, get my coffee, enjoy my morning. So I'm reading, and the pages of the book starts turning. So what? I think it's the window.
Right.
So I get up, I didn't feel the breeze, so I get up and I close the window, sit back down, and the pages start turning again. I'm like, wait, don't be afraid, because do demons read the Bible? They probably do, but I'm young and stupid.
Right.
I'm thinking it's an angel, because why would the devil be pointing out the scriptures?
Right.
I said, okay, so I'm reading. I said, wait a minute, this might take a long time. Let me go get comfortable. So I grab the books, and I go sit on my bed. I don't have a headboard. I said, I'm poor. So I sit back with my back against the wall, feet out like this, Bible on my lap, the book, the World Religions here. I remember I can still see all of this. I can still see the light in the room and everything. It's crazy. So I'm reading, so the pages are flipping, and I'm reading, get to the bottom of the page, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to see, what are you telling me? What are you pointing to me? So I'm contemplating, I'm thinking, like, I ain't getting anything yet. So I read some more, and then I look up again. This time when I look up to contemplate, I'm looking straight ahead, the room goes dark. Oh my gosh, the lights went out. I'm poor. My electricity went out.
I know that.
So I look outside. What do? You look outside to make sure all the cameras lights are on, right? So I look outside. And it's dark outside. I said, okay, the whole neighborhood. I said, but wait a minute. There's no street light. That's supposed to be, it's not even a street light. It's like a light in the apartments behind me. They had like a little, you know, like the little street lights back in the.
Yeah, yeah. Just to kind of
the old days, you know. Right, so I don't see that. So I said, okay, I'm gonna look in the living room, small apartment, and from my bed I can see the living room. There's no door, right? One room apartment. So I look to the living room to see if I can see the street light coming through the living room window from the park. It shines on the wall. Like, you know, it's just something that happens.
Yeah.
I don't see the light. Oh my god. So I said, okay, I'm just going to, maybe I can't see because my eyes need to focus. I said, I'm going to focus until the light comes through. The light still doesn't come through. I'm like, I said, okay. So while I'm looking here, trying to see the light from the street, I see something, a little pin light, like up here. So I said, okay. I said, I'm going to focus on this light and see what's around it. Is it a street light? Is it a car? What is it? Is it a house? You know, right?
Yeah.
And nothing is around the light. So I'm looking and looking. And then I realize, I say, excuse my language. I said, oh, shit, I'm outside. I'm effing outside. Back then, I cussed. So
yeah.
I'm effing outside. And I'm scared again, right? And then I'm like, wait a minute. It's too late now, because wherever you're going, you're already on your way there.
Yeah.
You can't stop it, right? So I'm still looking towards the light. So I'm looking at the light. And it's still very small, really far away, and I'm sort of getting closer, it's getting bigger, but it's not really, it's still like a drop of blood, whatever, it's very small. So I said, let me look and see what the earth looks like.
Yeah.
So, because you know, right, you always want to know that. So I look down. And the first thing I say is, oh my God, why are they lying to us? I don't see a blue marble. I see a flat, dirty, it's earth. It's a big clump of clay that's flat, and it's brown, it's the color of dirt. I see what looks like mountains on the edge, yeah. Sort of. I don't see the whole thing, because I guess where I'm at, is I'm not high enough to see the whole thing, so I'm only seeing like about this much of it.
Yeah, it's almost like that traditional image with the turtle, where it sits on the turtle's back.
I have no idea what you're...
It's an old, I don't know what culture it is, but they used to believe that the world sat on the back of a giant turtle.
Oh, okay.
And so, it was a disc, and the disc, and it did. It had mountains around the edge and things like that. So
okay, so that's what I saw, right? And then I saw, like, there was no blue water, there was no marble, there was no blue. Everything was brown, and they were like black lines. I'm thinking lakes, oceans, rivers, I don't know. It is brown and black. That's all I see. So I can't look too long. This all happened in a matter of seconds, yeah. Right? So while I'm looking and saying, I can't wait to go back and tell everybody, right? So I have to look back. I want to look and see, but the longer I look this way, I can feel my trajectory diminishing. So now I'm like about to fall out of wherever I'm at. And I'm like, oh, I get scared again. And I turn back around. I'm like, okay. So when I turn back around, I can feel it speeding back up. And now I'm going towards the light again. So I get closer to the light. And bam, I'm in the light. Just floating in the light. It's beautiful. It feels like love. That's all I can tell you. I can just feel love. And it's going through my pores. It's like I'm not a real person. But you can feel everything.
Yeah.
I can feel the love just shooting through my body, my pores. And I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. I want to live there forever.
Yeah.
But then reality kicks in. So I hear something. So then when I hear something, it comes from up, like up to the top right of me. It's very high wherever it's at. But I hear something, so my attention turns that way. It's still very light. The love is still around, but I'm starting to see atmosphere. So it's like fading like mist, and now I'm in a big, giant, I'm going to say room. I don't want to say aircraft, because I have no idea what it was.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it was a big room. I'm still floating in the air, so I'm not standing on anything yet. And the voice tells me to come to where they are. And I said, I can't because I can't feel the floor.
You got nothing to move on.
Right. And it's like, okay, just wait. And the more I look at the floor, just looking at it, I can feel something come under my feet. I never see anything.
Right.
It's still black and nothing down there, but I can feel my feet now. So I walk to the voice. I don't recall seeing anything. I probably did, but I probably blocked it out by now. But I do know it was high up, and it wasn't a speaker. I'm speaking to a very tall person. And I'm like, oh my God. Wait, I skipped a part. So I'm hearing some sound
like Charlie Brown.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So I'm like, I'm listening, I don't understand. And then something in my head says, relax and remember. So I relax. And I guess I remember because I can start understanding what they're saying. So then I walk over to them because they're telling me to come over there. And it looks like he has something. All I remember seeing is like a big cabinet space. I'm pretty sure there probably was things on it. But like I said, it's gone. I just see this in front of me and there's something up here. Like, I just say shelving units above me. I don't know what it is. I just know there's something here, something there, empty space in between. And I'm here, and the person I'm talking to is standing here now at this point. And this was many years ago. I didn't know what a laptop was, but I guess they open up a laptop now that I'm in retrospect. Yeah. It looks like they open a laptop. And I thought, oh my God, this is God, oh my God. I'm like, I'm excited. I'm like, I've got so many questions. And why do babies die? Why do we have to die? Why did you die? You know, all the questions, and he answered every question. He's very patient. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back to the, are you, oh my God, is this God? His answer was, that's not funny. But that was his answer to me. I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you that was the answer. Mm-hmm. I don't try to interpret none of this because I don't. I'm just going to tell you my experience.
Yeah.
All right, so I get to him. I'm talking, I'm asking all the questions, babies and you, and why you die, and why is there war, and why are we, my people, so, you know? And he answered all my questions. Everything has to be this way. And he showed me things on the laptop. I didn't know what it was at the time. He showed me things on the laptop of why we had to go through what we're going through. But there's good news. We're going to be okay. We're going to win. We still win the war, right? So there's great news there. So I'm asking questions. And then something happens. I guess I'm missing a bunch of time because the next thing I know, I'm standing there again, but I know time passed. I can feel it in my soul that, and so I'm asking stupid questions. Why do giraffes have knots in their head? That's not important, right?
Right.
So he's like, okay, time for you to go home.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait. I'm trying to hold on to air. I'm like, wait. I can feel myself forgetting. How am I going to remember this? I can feel myself forgetting already. It's what I'm telling, because I can feel it sucking out of my head. And I was so sad, but happy at the same time. And his answer to me was, just remember, exact words, just remember, love is the key. And then I was gone. I didn't leave the same way I came. I left a whole lot faster. As soon as he said that, I could feel myself, I actually backed out. I didn't like turn around and
Right.
And then this is what after he said that, I got sucked out. And then this is what I remember. My turn, I was sitting on my bed, books right here. This is what I remember. I look around. I'm in my room. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm surprised there wasn't a bounce. Like,
I just felt my heart and my everything come back into my body and me breathe back. And I look around. Maybe there's no bounce because I'm on a bed. I don't know. It probably did bounce, but who knows? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm on a bed. And I call my best friend. First I say, okay, who can I tell this to? My family's a bunch of sinners. They're not going to get any of this. My best friend, they've been in church all their life. I call my best friend. And that's about 7 p.m. I call her. What are you doing? You're trying to be all calm. What you doing? Oh, I'm just chilling. What's up? I'm like, girl, when I tell the story, right? She listens through the whole entire thing. And then at the end, she says, got to let you know what the message was. Love is the key. She say, well, that's not true. I said, oh, I already beat you in the name of Jesus. And I hang up the phone. Right? I hang up the phone. That was the end of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, no, I know what I just went through. And this is God. And that is the truth. You used something wrong. So I said, that can't be my best friend. Hang up the phone. So now I'm sitting there. If I can't tell her, who can I tell? So for years, 20 years, I keep this all inside.
Yeah.
I leave. I go walk. And I go pick up my son. I walk and I'm looking. You know, now you look at the sky, right?
Yep.
And I just can't tell anyone. Every now and then, I feel the urge to share it with someone.
Yeah.
I don't go into too much detail because people think you're crazy. I don't believe in aliens. I never believed in aliens. I never thought about the world being flat around before this. It never was an issue with me. This is just something that happened to me. And I don't know what to do with it. So I'm like, all I do is watch alien shows and trying to find some like experience. Nobody's experience is like mine. Everybody talking about little green aliens and blah,
not necessarily.
Blah.
So there's some markers that are pretty common.
Oh, really?
Do you know much about astral travel?
Not really. I'm a lucid dreamer.
That you can astral travel when you lucid dream. Essentially, your soul detaches from your body and can travel. Right,
okay.
It's called astral travel.
Okay.
It can never be separated. There's essentially like a rubber band that can always snap you back, which is interesting that you mentioned a snapback because that's a common thing in astral travel.
Okay.
And that's what it kind of sounds like to me is some astral travel. It's kind of taking your soul or your consciousness and taking it. And then you see things differently because you're not on our plane. You're on what's called the astral plane. Mm-hmm. So it's different. It's a different world.
Plus, oh,
you're using your soul eyes, your astral body eyes. Right. The same thing when you hear people say, oh, I saw my body. I was floating above it. That's because their astral body floating out. Some people do it accidentally. Mm-hmm. Some people train and learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. They can travel and things like that, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that I found was interesting is you talked about someone who's very, very tall. That's a common thing as well. Mm-hmm. If it is on the side of an alien encounter, which is not necessarily true, or it is.
I mean, it could be. I'm just saying, I don't know.
There's no 100% on anything. And so people also believe that we show ourselves in terms of our souls, how we want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And astral bodies are the same way. So, you know, it could be the person you were seeing wanted to show themselves to you as someone who is larger than life, this, that, this, that. Mm-hmm. And I laugh when you said, are you God? And they laughed because there's a lot of ancient traditions and things like that, that, of course, these beings come from the stars or things like that they don't consider themselves gods. Mm-hmm. But people, culture have always considered it. That's, I mean, even Judaism and Christianity are all rooted in Sumerian culture.
Right. The Anunnaki's all.
Oh, yes. Right. And Enki and Enlil and things like that. El. There's so much based in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's so much that, and in a way, God would, even if it's like our God that we know, I feel like he would still be like, you know, you call me, you know.
Who else do you think this is?
Right. So there's all, I mean, and like I said, there's markers that the way that you traveled is, there's a, I can't think of his name, but there was the guy, he was, I think he was Swedish. Mm-hmm. It was like in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And he had accidentally stumbled upon transcendental meditation and astral travel before it really hit the West. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of stories of him traveling through the stars with his astral body and meeting these beings that were Christians and things like that. He even had a church, and I believe there it's still technically a Protestant church that exists. I think it's a small denomination now of maybe 150 people, but at one point it was like the fourth or fifth largest for like 25 years or something in the late 1800s or something. I'll send you the guy's name, but it's a really interesting story and there's some similarities there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you coming back to your body and opening up, whoa, you know, that's part
and
of that.
And it was about, I would say 10, 12 hours later.
Mm-hmm. Missing time is a common thing. That's another factor.
But I'm still sitting up in bed, right? Because, I mean, if I'm sleeping, dreaming, who sits up for 12 hours of dreams sitting up?
Because there's, so if we look at alien encounters, if that's what we want to look at, let's look through that lens. The universe is too big for it to be one species, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there are many different encounters. Mm-hmm. And if you look back at the past of abductions and encounters and things like that, there are different races, different things. And there are many people that believe that the encounters happen via our consciousness. Mm-hmm. So they speak telepathically. They take our astral bodies. That's how we interact. That's how we talk. That's why we usually end up in the same place where we were. Mm-hmm. We're like, whoa. And then there's actual abductions where they end up somewhere else. They've been missing for 2 days. That's something that happened to me when I was a kid. I ended up 8 miles away from my house 2 days. Yeah, my sister and I both. And I had always thought it was a dream, the things that had happened. And then a couple of years back, I kind of brought it up to my sister about this crazy. She's like, and she finished the story. And I was like, holy shit. So we talked to my mom, and my mom starts crying. Her and my dad had been recently divorced, so she didn't tell my dad about it. Like, she was literally about to call the police when the guy that, the house that we found in the woods, the guy called. Like, it's crazy. We were 8 miles across the, I used to live in Toledo, Ohio. We were across the Michigan border. 8 miles. Yeah, so it's crazy. And I'm learning more. I just did a hypnotherapy session where I learned a lot more about it.
But, he did tell me that. I'm a little scared of that, too. I'm thinking about it, though, because I need to know. That's a lot of information. And I know I asked a lot of questions, and I know he answered my questions.
And that's what I was going to say, too. The love, there are a number of these benevolent beings that do. They want to push love. There's a guy named Dr. Stephen Greer. He actually lives here
in Phoenix. That person.
Yeah, so
he's
becoming a cult leader in my mind. But his whole focus... Yeah, he's actually from Arizona. His whole focus is the benevolent side of things, that they're here to teach us love and to show us love, and we need to stop looking at things as threats and things like that. So you can see how it's slowly turning into a cult, and I'm starting to kind of be wary of him. But his message is still sound, and he has events, and it is about that. It's about making contact and finding peace and joy and love and meditation and things like that. It's really interesting. But yeah, you're not alone. There are similar things, and the way that people see the world is different. And there's a reason for it. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what the world looks like. It could be that's what they wanted to show you for some reason, that there's still maybe something you need to learn. There's also theories out there about different spheres. There's the noosphere, the biosphere, the metasphere, these things that exist, you know, that go out, and they are different stages of consciousness that the Earth and the universe has and things like that. And so we see things differently through those as well. Yeah, I don't know. And I have felt that light, that love pouring out of you. I've had experiences like that. I know that.
I mean, who can make this
It's insane.
Right?
Like, how good it feels.
I didn't want to leave.
And I actually use that when I have hard days. I kind of meditate and think back to how that made my body feel or in my mind.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. I'm glad I can share that with you. So I even had a dream. So this dream wasn't a normal dream, so that's why I'm going to tell you. Because I have dreams all the time. I said I'm a lucid dreamer, but this dream was very different. So it started with me up in the sky coming down, and I kind of like float, and I land on my feet, and I'm in this park standing next to the street light. And you know how like parking lots have these little islands and there's a street light, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm standing on the island by the pool, by the street light. But I hear music, and so my family and friends are all at the park across the street, barbecue, and I can hear the music, dominoes on the table, you know, kids laughing and playing. I can actually see the smoke from the barbecue coming. I don't see any people. I don't even see myself. I don't remember sitting with my feet in the grass. I don't see people. So I'm standing there, apart from everyone else. I didn't want to be part of that. So I'm standing there, and then I look up, because I always look up.
Mm, me too. And at the end of all my shows, I say, keep your eyes to the skies.
I look up, there's clouds, and they're moving like a slight breeze. They're kind of moving a little bit. And in between the clouds and the spaces, I see something. And I look, and whatever it is big. So I think it's the face of God. It's what I recognize to be. But the only part I see is like this part. I don't see eyes. I don't see color. I don't see like size of nose. I don't see anything. But I know it's a face.
Yeah.
So I'm looking, and I said, ooh, we're in trouble. He's been watching all along. That's what I say, right? So I'm up looking at that. Then the wind, I can feel the wind like getting stronger. So it's now getting, the clouds are gray. It's windier. And I'm like, hey, you guys, I think we should go inside. Because I said, don't you guys see all this wind? And the sun is gone. And they're still partying. Everybody. I'm like, hey, you guys. So I'm like, do you guys see this? Now it's like really windy. My niece, I recognize my niece. She said, yeah, auntie, I see it. So she comes. She got two little kids. At the time, she only had two kids. But when she came, she had two kids and a baby. She now has three kids, but at the time, she only had two, right? And so I said, I think we should go in. She said, yeah, I think you're right. So we cross the street. We go up a hill to my house. My house is on a hill. So we're fighting through the wind. I got two little kids in my hand. So we're dragging. She got the baby. And we're struggling up the hill. We get all the way to the door. We're about to go in. I put the two ones that I have inside. And I go back to her. I'm like, come in. I'm trying to push her in. She's like, no, auntie. I can't go in. Take the baby. She gives me the baby. And at the baby, she said, I got to go back. I'm like, no, it's too late. Don't go back. She said, I got to go back and try to say that. I'm like, no, it's too late. But she's determined to go down the hill. I'm not stopping her. I'm going in the house with the babies. I go inside and I shut the door. It was hard to shut the door, but I get the door shut. And I put them on. It's really, I got a picnic table in my kitchen. I sit one kid on one side, another kid on the other side, the baby on top of the table. I turn around, the window's here, the kitchen. I close the curtain because outside the window, you can see destruction. I didn't want the babies to see that because their mom is out there, right? So I closed the curtain. They're like, but my mom is out there. I said, I know, baby, but it's too late because she wanted to go back and help anyone, help everyone else. And I just pull the lid off a pot and I stir some stew and I start feeding the kids stew. And that's the end of the story.
Mm. Interesting. So
I have no idea what it means. That's just a story.
Yeah, so there's a couple things like that and your previous story that stand out to me is this wanting to do right for yourself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about the previous story is it's interesting that when this happened, you were learning about another religion and other religions, all of these different things,
mm-hmm.
to essentially meet some sort of spirit guide or spirit or angel or something that mm-hmm. says love is the most important.
Right.
And so in a sense, it's almost as if you were being taught that love is what is the most important, and that why you feel that need to share with just certain folks
mm-hmm.
is because they're the ones that need to hear it at that time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that need to help when people need help mm-hmm. and to stay strong is what I gather from that. And you know, and we can say, well, is that our mind or is it an actual spirit or a thing or what? Does it matter?
It doesn't.
Right?
But it makes sense because I'm a little confused, not as much as I was at that time because I was so young.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much coming at me. My mom was a Jehovah's Witness. I was raised Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend is Seventh-day Adventist. You know what I'm saying? There's just so much
that,
going on. I'm like, I don't know. I just want the truth. I just want the truth.
Yep.
And that's how I ended up where I ended up. That's
wow, thank you, Carla, so much for taking the time to share that story, not only with me, but giving me permission to share that with our audience. I know that there are people out there that are listening that might have given them some comfort to know that they're not alone out there. So again, if you're listening here, whether it's on YouTube or wherever, especially if you're on our social media, whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, hit us up. You know, let us know about your story. And as always, you can go to fearscapepodcast.com and submit a sighting or, you know, whatever there to share your own experience, your own encounter from the Fearscape, or simply just give some words of advice or share your own story with Carla. Anyways, we would love to hear that. And man, we miss you guys. We cannot wait for January. Just want to remind you guys of the powerhouse season premiere we've got coming in January of the Rendlesham Forest incident, one of the most famous UFO stories in the books, especially with those folks that are still alive. It's going to be pretty fantastic, and I can't wait for you guys to hear that. Other than that, we will be back again probably with another bonus episode or two. I know the Jersey Devil's got one cooked up for you that I think is going to be pretty awesome, so be on the lookout for that. But other than that, happy holidays to everybody that celebrates and all that jazz. And just a reminder, this has been Stefan. Keep your eyes to the skies. And thank you guys so much for listening to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. And remember, folks, hold those blankets extra tight. Things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
We hope you have enjoyed this guidepost on the road of high strangeness with us. And we thank you, as always, for listening and joining our caravan to the weird and unknown. Please consider supporting us as we continue our journey to find the answers we all seek. FearscapePodcast.com/support.